Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's always good to be together, isn't it? At least I think it is. Once again, I've got one of our youth group going to read a little bit of scripture for us. And so let me say this before Braden reads for us. Today we're going to look at spiritual war again, talking about authority in the name of Jesus. Kristen, if you would put up that first one from John Wesley. John Wesley wrote this in his journal in 1740. He said, "I found more and more undeniable proofs that the Christian state is a continual warfare and that we have need every moment to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation." That's spiritual war. We got to be on guard every moment, lest, as Wesley put it, we enter into temptation. We got to be on guard every moment, lest, as I said 2 weeks ago, we open the door. And so, today we're going to talk about authority. Last week we looked at spiritual war from the standpoint of the devil wanting us to question God. Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say? That spiritual war that we're caught up in, to question his authority, to question his word. That's part of the war that we find ourselves in. So many voices today that said, don't disregard the word of God. We're more modern than that after all. That's spiritual war. Today we're going to look at authority a little more. I've asked Braden to read us a couple passages of scripture from Luke 9, so thank you for doing so. We better get you a mic so they can hear you. Take it away.
I'm reading Luke 9, 1 through 3, and Luke 9, 37 through 43. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither snaffs, nor bags, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece." And now Luke 9, 37 through 43. Now it happened on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, "Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child." And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out, it convulses him, so that he foams out the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implore your disciples to cast it out, but they cannot. Then Jesus answered, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God. But while everyone marveled at the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men."
Thank you, Braden. Authority. When you think about it, nobody likes to live defeated, right? We want to live in victory. We want to live in freedom. And there is freedom in Jesus. The Son, if the Son therefore sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But for variety of reasons, many still live defeated or oppressed. But I want us to know today there's authority. As Braden read from Luke 9, there's authority even over demons. And I had him read both of those because very clearly in Luke 9, 1 and 3, Jesus is giving authority over all demons. And then in 9:37 to 43, the other one that he read for us, we see that the disciples weren't able to cast the demon out of the young boy. Jesus could, the disciples couldn't. Jesus does address that in Matthew's account from Matthew 17:21, when he explained to them, sometimes demons will only respond with prayer and fasting. Authority in the name of Jesus. I said this, I think, 2 weeks ago when we started this, and let me say it again, friends. This spiritual war that we're caught up in, this is not a game. Are you hearing me this morning? This is war. The forces of good, God, the forces of evil, the devil, this is war. This is not a game. This is serious stuff. The enemy of our souls will take everyone he can to hell if he has a chance. This is serious. This battle is real. And the good news that I want to emphasize for us today, there is authority in the name of Jesus. Amen? In Luke 9, there's a little bit more. Braden read a bunch for us in Luke 9. But in Luke 9, there's a little bit more. 49 and 50, it says this. John, that's Jesus' follower, answered and said, he's speaking to Jesus. They've been talking about this whole spiritual war, this whole idea of demons cast out, demons not cast out. And John says, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade them because he does not follow with us. Look at what Jesus said. Do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. You see what he's saying? There's only two sides in this war, friends. Those following Jesus and those that aren't. You say, well, Jim, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's wonderful. But there's only two sides to this war. And Jesus said to John, his disciple, if somebody else is on our side and they're casting out devils in the name of Jesus, don't forbid him. He's on our side. If you were here last week, you remember the words of Jesus from John 8:44 when Jesus was talking to the Jewish people and he said, you are of your father, the devil. You remember that? You were here last week? You are of your father, the devil. There's only two sides, friends. Either we have been born again, we have given our life to Christ, we are following Jesus by the Spirit of God, or we are still following the devil. And I know people don't want to hear that. People don't like to hear that. Well, I don't follow the devil, Jim. I believe in God. So does the devil. Are we following Jesus? Are we surrendered to Jesus? Does the Spirit of God and the Word of God dictate and determine my life? In Luke 10, Jesus has sent out the 70, and then they come back in 17. I'm at 10 and 17, Luke 10 and 17. Then the 70 returned with joy. Why did they return with joy? Look at what it says. Saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That's why they came back with joy. They saw the power of God. They saw the power of Jesus on display when demons fled at the name of Jesus. Then he said this, Jesus said this, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then he reiterated, Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that good? Do you rejoice, brothers and sisters, that your names are written in heaven? Do you even know that they are? Sometimes I think we act like they aren't. He said, don't rejoice over the spirit world has response, but rather rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, friends, Jesus has given authority to his followers. He's given authority over the demonic realm. And we do not need to ask for what's already been given. We see it from Scripture. He's given it to the 12. He's given it to the 70. He's allowed others in his name to overcome the demonic. I read to us 2 weeks ago Mark 16, 15, and 18. That's Mark's account of the Great Commission. He gave authority to those that would come to Christ. He gave us authority in his name. Now, let me just say this. I know that a lot of people don't even subscribe to this whole dynamic of this spiritual war. And I told you 2 weeks ago when we started, I'm not looking for demons under every bush either. But it's the war that we are in is real. And the enemy is messing with people, and some of them people are in the church houses. And so I get it. Some people don't want to think about this. Some people don't want to address this. Some people don't believe it. Some people think that this commission from Mark 16 and the commission to the 70 was for a different time frame. I understand all that. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, Jesus has not changed. His word has not changed. His commission to the church has not changed. And on occasion, people need to take authority over the demonic of the world. Even if we think, well, we can't do that. I'm going to give you some examples and show you that we can. But I get that whole thought process, and part of it comes from, well, the foolishness that we see on TV. Are you hearing me this morning? You're drowsy? We need to stand up and do jumping jacks? Hello? Part of the reason people are skeptical is because of the foolishness that we've seen on TV. An alleged faith healers or whatever. And I'm not saying it's all foolishness, but friends, some of the stuff on TV is foolishness. God does not need TV cameras to bring him glory. God does not need TV cameras to show somebody's strength by knocking them down with their coat. That's foolishness. That's not what Jesus is talking about. And so I understand when we've seen that, some people are skeptical about this is no longer for today. I get that. But I'm telling you, read Salek's newsletters. He's as 2024 as any of the rest of us. Talk to the people in Africa, in Pakistan, in China, in Haiti, in other places of the world that encounter demons and cast them out in the name of Jesus often in 2024. And so I'm telling us, friends, under the power of the Holy Spirit of God and under the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, demons still respond and flee in the name of Jesus. They still do. Not because of Jim, John Wesley, or the next pastor, because of Jesus. This authority that Jesus has given, there's a Greek word for that, it's exousia. This authority delegated to followers is a greater power than the Greek word that the enemy has, that's called dunamis. That authority that Jesus has given his followers is a greater authority than what the enemy has. And that's what he's talking about over and over and over. A bunch of years ago, I don't know if these examples are helpful for not, are helpful or not, but I've got a lot of examples of my own life and my journey in the ministry. And a bunch of years ago, I'm visiting some folks up north of here, and I'm getting ready to come back to town, and I'm thinking I need to go back to town, but then I'm thinking, no, I need to go a different way, and I believe that was from the Lord. So I went a few miles further north, and I get to this place. I don't know why I went there, other than I think it was from the Lord. And the occupant, older gal, she's outside driving around on her riding lawnmower. She's cutting the grass, and I pulled in. She pulled over and stopped and shut it off immediately. She said, "Boy, I'm glad to see you." And I said, "Well, I just felt I needed to come and check on you." And she began to unload on me for the next 20, 30 minutes, I don't know. And she began to unload on me and tell me about all the... This is a person that loves Jesus. Spends hours a day in prayer. And she begins to tell me, "Jim, I don't know what's going on in my house, and I don't know what's going on our yard, but man, there's some stuff that we can't explain, and we don't like it. It gets evening time, and it seems like there's somebody looking in the window at us, and we go out to the outer building, and maybe we got to put some wood in the outdoor stove, or we're getting the lawnmower put away, and all of a sudden we turn around and see, because it seems like there's somebody there about to tap on our shoulder. We got all these things happening that we don't understand, and quite frankly, we're tired of it." And as I stood there, the Lord was reminding me of the prior occupants of that place. I grew up in the area, so I knew the occupants. And the Lord was reminding me, "Do you remember that what you saw these people do a long time ago? Do you remember?" And I'm thinking, "Yeah, I do." And so I'm listening to this. I'm listening to this gal, and the Lord is speaking to me. There was occult activity here on this place for years, trying to contact the dead and trying to do levitation and weird and stupid stuff. And so the Lord is reminding me of that. This happened here with these people, and those people are passed on and gone, but the next people who love the Lord Jesus, they now live here, and they're being messed with by inhabitants that had come there from the last people that live there. They didn't want to leave, so they're messing with these folks. And as the Lord is speaking to me and as she's speaking to me, I said, "I tell you what, I'm going to get some people together. We're going to come back out and we're just going to read scripture and we're going to pray. And once we've prayed for you, we're going to pray over the place." And so I recruited actually Don and Mary D and my wife and we went out there and I had my Bible and we went into the living room and we sat down in the living room and I read to them. I read to him Psalm 46. I don't know why I turned to Psalm 46, but that's what I turned to, and I read to him, and we prayed over them. And then I said, we're going to take our anointing oil. And I normally keep some anointing oil around because you never know who might need a little. And we're going to anoint your place with oil, and we're going to ask in the name of Jesus that any foreign inhabitants are gone in Jesus' name. And so we began to anoint the whole house with oil, over the windows, over the doors. Then we went out in the outbuildings, began to anoint the outer buildings, put the sign of the cross on with oil, and we prayed all over the place. And all the while, we were praying that whoever, whatever inhabitants were there, you have no authority here. These people belong to Jesus. And in essence, we were saying, you're not welcome here. You're gone. And so we prayed over the whole place, and some time went by, and folks come back to church, and this is a month or so later, and she says to me, Jim, can I see you? Yeah, yeah, I got time. So we went and visited, and she said, this is a woman of prayer, but she was skeptical because the things that she was seeing and feeling were so real, she was skeptical that any victory would be had. And she said, I didn't say anything to my grandson who lives here with me, and I didn't really want to doubt, but I didn't say anything to my grandson, and he didn't say anything to me. And so finally, I asked my grandson, how are you sleeping at night? Well, pretty good. Well, are you seeing what we saw? Are you feeling what we felt? He said, no, I haven't seen it since they've been here. Well, how about when we go outdoors and we get ready to do our outdoor thing? Are you sensing anything around that shed that we always use? And he said, no, I haven't seen or felt anything since they've been here. You see, in the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, the evil presence was gone because of Jesus. Because these people didn't invite these inhabitants, these spiritual beings, but the prior ones had, and these Christians didn't want them. And so God comes along and has a few Christians come along and pray in the power of the name of Jesus, and they never experienced again. Glory to God. I could tell you a lot more stories. There was a fellow here on the... I'm not going to. Maybe one, but... Oh, there's a young fellow here this morning in the first service, and Charles and I had actually been in his home a couple, three, 4 years ago, and they were having the same thing. And he said, Jim, use my story whenever you want, because he said, after you've been there, I never had the problem again. The authority of Jesus, not Jim. The authority of Jesus... I have also been in homes, and I'm not going to elaborate to protect the innocent, but I have been in homes where we didn't have victory, and maybe we didn't pray enough, maybe we didn't fast, because Jesus told the disciples, there's sometimes you got to pray some more and you got to fast. You want to have victory? This battle is real. There are some times we've been to places and didn't get victory. That's not because of Jesus. That falls back on us. John Wesley, I got to hurry up because time's moving on. John Wesley never once suggested he had the gift of casting out devils. But when you read the accounts of John Wesley, 1700s, 50 years, preached 45,000 sermons, you do the math, I'll tell you it ain't one a week. But he encountered, as he was going by horseback from town to town to town all over England, and he was proclaiming the good news of Jesus and proclaiming to people, you must be born again. He would often encounter the demonic. This is 1700s. This ain't the 70. This ain't the 12. This is 1700s. He often encountered opposition to his message of Jesus. And often he would take others that were solid believers, and after the sermon or the session was over, they would take the person aside and sometimes all night long cry out to God that those people would be delivered of the demonic that they were oppressed with. Anyway, my point is, he never claimed to have the gift of casting out devils. But when he encountered them and the Holy Spirit urged them, they would take the powerful name of Jesus and free those people. Hallelujah. This is 1700s. It's not first century. I got an email from Salek last week. Maybe you did too. And Salek put a bunch of pictures there and talked about their ministries in the Middle East at several places, around Lahore some, but other places. And in there, in the letter, he said this, and I quote, "We see many delivered and healed." Hallelujah! We see many delivered and healed. Delivered of what? Delivered of evil spirits. Let me close with this. I mentioned the first time we started this journey, there's a lot of opportunity that the devil will use to mess with you. Sometimes it is absolutely no fault of your own. I don't know if I'll get to this part or not ever, but sometimes because of sexual abuse, I've read it and I've encountered it. Because of sexual abuse, the enemy will oppress. No fault of that person. They're a victim only. But the enemy will use that to demonize and oppress and mess with that person's life. Sometimes we'll open up the door by our activities, like the occult practices that were happening in my neighborhood when I was growing up. Sometimes the enemy comes along to you and messes with you just because you're a follower of Jesus. So there's a lot of reasons. But I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we started this journey, sometimes, and it may be inadvertently, it may be out of ignorance, I just didn't know, but sometimes when we start to dabble in the occult or trying to contact the dead, seances, whatever you want to call it, or we dabble in tarot cards or Ouija boards or Dungeons and Dragons or fortune tellers or horoscopes or all of this stuff, sometimes when we start to dabble there, we're opening up the door to the other side. And we open up the door, the other side will come in. Many years ago, before I was in the ministry here, I was working at the plant, and I was involved in the Mennonite church that I grew up in. I was actually on the conference board, and we were having a meeting in Montana. And we brought a speaker in because it was a missions meeting. Lo and behold, the speaker's from Cass Lake. I'm from Leader. He's from Cass Lake. We meet in Montana. And he told us of the deep spiritual nature of our Native American friends and neighbors. He told us of the sweat lodge experience. And if you've read anything like those books, you can understand some of that. But what caught my attention, and it catches a lot of people's attention, is he told us of the deep spiritual connection to dream catchers. You say, "Jim, I don't buy it." You don't have to. But you open up the door a while to the other side, the other side will come in. And I only learned this from listening to Craig Smith. That's his name. He wrote a book, White Man's Gospel. You can still find it. You can still read it. He told indigenous peoples all over the globe. He's traveled all over the globe from Cass Lake telling people the good news of Jesus and telling people there's power in the name of Jesus. And he told us about the connection to dream catchers. And oftentimes I get calls from people say, Jim, I got this unexpected phenomenon, this unexplained phenomenon happening in my house, and I don't know what's going on. And one of them was my closest neighbors. Sherry and I become very, very attached to her. We were even having Bible studies in her place. And one day we're there, she says, Jim, I don't know, I'm the only one here. And yet I go to bed at night and bathroom doors opening and slamming. I hear somebody walking up and down the steps. I'm the only one here, and it sure ain't me. She said, will you look around? And I said, yeah, I'll look around. Sherry and I pray over your place. So I walk into her bedroom. Not that I like being in people's bedrooms, but when you roll out the red carpet, and I'm going to look for the red carpet, when you roll out the red carpet, they're going to come in. And hanging above her bed's a dream catcher about this big. And I said, that is the reason for your intruder. You want the upstairs and downstairs tromping up and down to go away? You want the door to stop slamming at night, in the middle of the night, when you're the only one here? I said, you got to burn that. It's got to go away. And she burned it, and it went away. You open the door, you're going to come in. Now, I got to close. Praise team, come on, let's get ready to sing. I want to close on a positive. I've warned us three times now, and I'm going to talk in the future about the enemy affecting our body physically from Scripture. I'm going to show you examples. I'm going to show us from Scripture how the enemy will come to church. Oftentimes more than church people come to church. And I'm going to invite a young lady who's been in the other side world to give us a testimony here in the next little while. Because now she's walking with Jesus, been delivered. So that's all coming up yet. And I want to end today on a positive. This song that we're going to sing here, it's got some great words. It says and reminds us there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. So whatever door we might have opened up, there is still power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever we arbitrarily, inadvertently, innocently, ignorantly opened up to, there is still power in the name of Jesus. So as we sing this song, if there's something burning your heart today, we'll be glad to pray for you. And if you haven't made peace with Jesus, friends, you need to. There is no power, no place on earth that's going to combat the wiles of the devil except Jesus. There's no other way. Read Acts 19. Is that what I said earlier? Read Acts 19. You think there's power without Jesus? There isn't. Seven sons of Sceva tried to get involved in a little exorcism. And the demonic, you read the story, it comes right from Scripture, overpowered the seven sons of Sceva, bloodied them up, tore off their clothes, and they ran naked and bleeding, the Bible says, because they thought they had power in themselves. They didn't have Jesus. That's the difference. Those words are really good news, friends. There's power in the name of Jesus. I didn't mention this, but some of you know this better than I, but the chains of addiction, drugs and alcohol and pornography are tools of the devil. And they will bind you. But there's freedom in Jesus. And so I'm just going to close us in prayer. inviting us completely surrender to Jesus, whether you have any problem spiritually speaking or not, I'm inviting us to surrender completely to Jesus. And if you're having some kind of troubles and you want Casey and I to pray with you, then we will. There's freedom and there's authority in the name of Jesus. Not Jim, not Casey, not John Wesley, not John Doe on the TV. There's power and authority in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. When we have given our life totally to Jesus Christ, the word is clear. Your word is true. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Your word is true, Lord Jesus, in the Great Commission from Matthew 16 and from Mark 16 and from Mark 9 and Mark 10. We've seen it today. Your word is still true. There is authority and power in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I just pray that you would help enlighten us to anything foreign in our houses, anything foreign in our lives that might be a red carpet to the enemy, because we don't want that there. We want to walk with Jesus. And so I would pray that you would enlighten us and help us to understand if there's anything in any of our homes, we would get rid of it and no longer allow the enemy to demonize or oppress us. Show us, Lord, how we walk with Jesus in newness of life and in the power of his name and the power of your spirit. Show us the way forward to walk and live in victory in Jesus' name. I pray for everyone here. You know our hearts. You know if there's things that are oppressing us or demonizing us. You know that. And so I just pray for everyone here, Father. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that we would rid our lives of that stuff and therefore our lives would be rid of that oppression, that demonization. Bless each one here, Lord. Strengthen them. Guide us. And if we've been in those places, forgive us and set us free. Go with us into this week in the powerful name and the authority of Jesus Christ, led by the Holy Spirit of God, victorious, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.